I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dr. Kevin Moss joins us. Sometimes, Doc, I don't have time to say all the words.
You know, you're getting better at this job, though, so that's good.
Will you be taking an eclipse break today to wander outside the hospital and look up?
Yeah, we're pretty much going to shut the hospital down about 11 to 4, not taking anything, no surgeries.
I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah. You should probably call me.
Work. I tried, but they said no.
We will. I sent you a text this weekend of a personal nature about people we know. Let's talk about them behind their back off the air.
You got it.
Okay. Meanwhile, let's do this. We talked about Eddie Olczyk last week and his battle with colon cancer at the age of 50. You want to keep people informed. And is there anything else you want to add to that before we move forward?
Well, it depends how deep you want to jump in right away. I mean, you know, the big thing with any screening test is the ability to identify disease early and to make sure that we're identifying it specifically. In other words, when we call a screening test positive, it actually means something. And, you know, with Eddie, he didn't even have the opportunity to do what the recommended screening test was. You know, he already had disease at that time. So the confusion around the medical field and the confusion around the public is, well, tell us what to do and we'll do it, but let's make sure we can capture things as early as we can, because we know the earlier we treat, identify and treat disease, the less chance we have for bad things to happen and the costs and the pain and the suffering and all that go down as well.
All right. So before we get deeper in the screening, let me back it up just a second to talk. And by the way, nobody is less fond of having someone on the radio talking about digestive issues and plumbing and things of that nature. But these are all part and parcel of the same thing. So we all go, oh, it's probably nothing. It'll go away. How long a bout of irregularity or stomach pain or things of that nature should you tolerate before you go to a doctor?
Well, not a lot, to be honest with you. It depends if it continues. You know, if you notice any blood in your stool, that's a red flag. That's a problem that you have. If you have pain that sits there and really doesn't go away, you know, that's something, at least get that evaluated. Because it's not that we want everybody to come in with abdominal pain, because we all have abdominal pain, you know, during the day sometimes. But what we want is the person that continues to have it and notices other changes. Any weight loss when they're trying not to lose weight, blood in the stool, abdominal pain, those are the things at least get in from the view of colon cancer, you know, something to at least get checked out.
The need for fiber, you a fan of fiber supplements?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of us, I'm sorry, but we don't get enough fiber in our diet. So, I mean, I take fiber every day. Everyone should, to be honest with you, whether it's Metamucil or whether it's, you know, the gummy. We have gummy fibers now. It's that easy. But to be honest with you, you know, eating more fruits and vegetables, which we don't do well, is actually where we're going to get that fiber source from. And that really actually helps your colon health. So not only is it good for you from a vitamin point of view, but it's also great in avoiding or preventing colon cancer.
How much fiber should a grown man or grown woman have in a day?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And really, you can't have too much. So
oh, really?
It's not like you can overdose on it. You know, if you were on a grain and vegetable diet, like they are in the middle of Africa for a lot of the people, you know, their protein actually comes from other vegetables. But the incidence of colon cancer there is about zero. So, I mean, you can't have too much. But if you have, you know, what is it, 10, 20 grams at least of fiber, if you're going to take a supplement, and then eat whatever you have in your regular diet as well.
Well, that's the thing that you know, well, the reason of the question initially was so many of us have bad diets. So how do you determine if your bad diet is the problem for your plumbing issue or if it's something more serious? And I think you've outlined that with the more alarming things like the unintended weight loss or the blood or whatever.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to breast cancer for a second here. Is the screening getting better for that?
Yeah, breast cancer screening is getting a lot better. You know, when I did my residency, you know, the screening for breast cancer was essentially an X-ray. And then you went down to the radiologist, and he was sitting there with a handheld magnifying glass looking for calcifications. And now it's changed dramatically. We have MRI for the breasts. We have other digital imaging now so that we can manipulate the film without using a handheld. We have something now called tomosynthesis, which allows us to take many different pictures at many different angles, and then it allows us to build a three-dimensional view of the breast so that the physician can look, instead of looking at one plane in one dimension, is looking in three dimensions. Allows for earlier detection and more accurate detection. So any women out there getting breast cancer, or excuse me, getting mammography, should be making sure that the place that they go has tomosynthesis.
Doctor, will this prevent so many women from being called back? Because so often you get a mammogram and then you get the call back and then you worry for a couple of weeks, then you get the results. And then the last time I was called back, the technician said, oh, yeah, well, usually now most women do get called back. And again, that just sends a panic through you. And then I was also told if you get called back, you should ask for the MRI.
Correct. So really what you're doing is like we do with a lot of screening tests. That initial test is a screening test. And then if they see something that they're concerned about, they're going to call you back for an ultrasound. They're going to call you back for an MRI so that they can be more exact so that we don't have what we call false positives. I look at it on this film and it looks like it's breast cancer. Instead of me jumping and saying, let's go do a biopsy and let's go do these other invasive tests, they say, let me bring you back here. Let's do an ultrasound. Let's see if that's more of a cyst. Let's do an MRI. Let's do a tomo if they didn't do it. So now they have a much better picture and they can say, okay, we can watch this instead of, or this is negative, instead of going on and doing biopsies.
Let's take a break, come back, and then I want to ask you about some pretty exciting news in screenings. Screenings in DNA, right?
Yeah, very cool news.
All right, we'll come up with that and come back with that. All right, more now with Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Doc, let me ask you an eclipse question before we get back to the cancer screening advancements, and that is the questions continue to come in about the safety of looking at the eclipse. You know, we have these approved glasses from the Adler in various places, but other than that, I mean, you know, you can't look at it, right?
Absolutely. You know, let's be careful because the eye is very fragile, and the back of the eye, the retina, is one of the more fragile areas. And unfortunately, it's extremely photosensitive, meaning that lights bother it. So, you know, you put a bright light in your eye and you're like, wow, that's the retina telling you that light's too bright. And our body then will clamp down and our pupil gets smaller to decrease the amount of light that comes in. But people need to understand that looking at the sun can cause something called solar retinopathy, and it'll just show you the fragility of the eye. Sometimes this can be very short-lived and your vision comes back, but people need to also know that possibly you could lose vision in the center portion of your eye by doing this. So although we're tempted to look at the sun, please don't. I have my good friends from Wheaton Eye Clinic say, please tell people that their regular sunglasses are not going to protect them. Please make sure that they don't look at this, because the sad thing is with these eye doctors, when they see these patients, there's not a lot they can do. The damage is already done.
And somebody asked about the glasses, and this is, I got to be careful bringing this up to Doc because it's a hot button for him. The glasses people wear when they're in tanning beds, they're not safe for this either, right?
I'm not going to talk about tanning beds at all.
Allegedly, if they're used for tanning beds.
Right. But they're not. You want to make sure that you have the kind that are certified, ISO certified. Make sure that you didn't buy them from some guy on the street. Make sure you got them from a reputable source, because there's a lot of fakes out there right now as well. And I would say, you know, I hate to say what Lou Saban is right. You can still get the experience by watching it on TV. You can be outside when it happens. Just don't look at it.
Right.
You know, it's going to be cloudy here, but your listeners go well beyond this cloudy area, and they're going to have listeners that are in sun-drenched areas as well. So please just make sure you don't do it. It does damage.
Yeah, and talk to your idiot kids, and I say idiot with love, but you get a bunch of little boys together, or even little girls, I suppose, who think, ah, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, but make sure your kids understand how serious it is.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Kids are probably the biggest concern right now, because we're talking about this and adults are listening, but kids don't. And now all of a sudden something bizarre happens. They look up. You know, you don't want them to do that.
Yeah, and it's summer and kids are going to be, you know, thank God they're all inside playing video games. No, it's summer and kids are going to be running around doing whatever they're doing. So make sure your kids understand it's a big deal. All right, let's get back to the screening thing. We're talking about advances in screening to identify cancers. How does DNA play into this?
You know, Steve, last week a study came out, and I rarely say, hey, this could be life-changing, but this is one that actually is going to be life-changing. Years from now, we're going to look at this and start laughing about what we're doing now as far as screening. But a study just came out last week from Johns Hopkins. There's a lot of people across the world studying what we call liquid biopsies. In other words, can we identify things in blood that show us disease before disease occurs or early on in the disease process? And Hopkins just came out with their study, and it's earth-shattering is the way that I'll describe it. You know, there was almost 200 patients, and what they did is they have patients who have disease, so they know they have stage 1 colon cancer. They know they have stage 1 breast cancer. They took their blood and looked for DNA markers, tumor markers, and they found them. And they found them at some pretty amazing rates, 60, 70, 80% in some cases. So if you think about that now, they can identify in blood, looking for a DNA marker, cancer.
That's huge.
It is unbelievably huge, and especially this early in its career, or this early in the study. So think about that. Now, the Eddie Olchek's of the world, getting a blood test done at the age of 40 that can identify stage 1 cancer well before the screening of the colonoscopy that's needed. The person with breast cancer, the early age breast cancer, who can have a blood test that would identify that before. The other beauty of it is, Steve, is that one of the things that we always talk about is those false positives, right? Like Andrea said, well, they saw something, they were concerned, and they brought me back for testing. They took the same test and did it on almost 50 people who had not had disease. They didn't find the marker in any one of them.
All right, I'm going to ask you to speak for all of the medical world now. When if this is the breakthrough that it sounds like it could be, and obviously you need clinical trials and you need a lot of research still.
Yep.
But if this is the breakthrough that we're talking about, this will eliminate the need for expensive testing with less accuracy, and therefore change the cost structure of healthcare. Oh. Is the medical field prepared to make less money on testing?
Our goal should be the health of people, not how much money we're going to
make. I understand that, but you understand the question.
I do understand the question. You know what? The system is built for the diseases and illnesses we have now. So this could change on a dime pretty quickly. But you make a very good point when you think about this. The colonoscopies now would not be for screening. The colonoscopies would actually be for treatment. Mammographies would be for identification of where the tumor is versus a screening tumor. So it would say, this is where the tumor is, Dr. Surgeon, go there, versus it's a negative test again, see you again next year. It's a negative test, see you again.
Doc, so could it also help with the advanced screening for the ovarian cancer test too, the CA-125?
Actually, you make a very good point. So the ones that I get concerned about is ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, and brain cancer, often found too late. So those are the ones that I think that they're going to start looking at now. The other thing interesting that you brought up was the tumor marker that we see in ovarian cancer patients, as well as even for prostate cancer. How many listeners have had a PSA test? Those biomarkers occur in the absence of cancer. See, and we're just looking for a change in the level. So for some of those, we're looking to see this is how the cancer is advancing. Oh, your PSA was 2 and now it's 12. Okay, wow, we have concern now.
So I think it's important for people to hear that because it's very rare. I don't know, maybe there's no test that exists like this. But we're talking about a test that would not only show if there is disease, but would also show if there isn't by way of the advancements of this DNA technology, as we're talking about. So it's not just, oh, there it is. It's also, oh, there it isn't.
Correct. You get a negative test. As they get this more sensitive and more specific, you get a negative test. It's your cancer screening test.
Pretty
you don't
cool.
have to go in for colonoscopies. You don't have to go in for mammograms. You know, like I said, those are going to be the ones where, hey, your blood test is positive. We know you have early stage cancer. Now let's go find it so we can treat it.
Pretty cool. Well, that's good news. Look at you bringing the good news on Eclipse Day.
It's really cool, and it'll be something we'll watch. They'll start clinical trials here shortly, and hopefully some will be in Chicago.
It's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better, and I will talk to you later.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
7:02, back with the news, and then Steve Grzanich live from Southern Illinois, coming up on 720 WGN.